What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Down to the Wire. It's Cam again and Mason back for another episode. This one feels weird, Mason, because it's basically we're at the end of the season besides bowl games and the playoff. And it just feels really sad that it's basically over. Championship weekend was this past weekend. And Heisman's coming up. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of conversation on the bogusness of that, along with some of the Coach of the Year stuff that's also bogus. We'll get into all of that. We aren't going to do any picks or fantasy this week because, man, there's so much out there that we need to wait on when it comes to opt-outs and people transferring and all that kind of stuff. So we'll actually do those picks in fantasy draft in 2 weeks. We're going to take next week off as for an episode, and so we'll be back in 2 weeks with our next one to kind of break down a lot of the big bowl games. We'll do a big breakdown on the playoff and put our predictions in there, and then, you know, we'll go from there. And hey, we might have something special for you leading up to the national championship game, or so be on the lookout for that. So let's go ahead and get started, Mason. Let's go ahead and, you know, let's start with the conference championship games last week, and your thoughts on that. We can start how we normally start, going from chronologically. So let's start with the Pac-12 championship that happened on Friday night, the USC Utah game. Did you get to watch a lot of that one?
I was locked in on that one, actually. Look, that one was rough for me because I was really starting to get all in on USC. I was feeling what they were doing on offense, but then it was the typical Lincoln Riley game. His defense just looked terrible, and Utah came out and carved him up. And it was a rough look for USC. It was a rough look for Caleb Williams coming out with his nails painted the way that they were. Did you see that?
I did see that.
That was rough. Rough look coming out that way. I will say it was a little unfortunate that he did get banged up. You could tell it was his leg was bothering him a little bit. I don't necessarily think that's the reason that they lost the game, but it definitely doesn't help when your best player is running around on one leg.
Yeah, for sure. And the other reason is, you know, you can't tackle. And when you can't tackle, you kind of deserve to lose when your offense doesn't have its A-plus performance, which obviously it didn't because Caleb Williams basically pulled his hamstring and basically couldn't even walk. So I didn't get to watch a lot of it. I was at a Thanksgiving/Christmas party, but I was kind of tuning in whenever we got home towards the end. And that's when Utah scored 23 points in the fourth quarter just to blow it open and not even make it close. So, crazy, man. Caleb Williams statistically had a good game, but, man, you could just tell once it got to that fourth quarter, he couldn't move, and so you couldn't do anything.
Let me ask you this. So one of the biggest transfers coming out of last year was – Caleb Williams, obviously, but it was also him bringing Jordan Addison along with him, who won the Benarik or whatever it's called last year.
Litnikoff,
whatever. Best wide receiver in college football last year. Coming into this year, he was expected to go crazy, but it's really just been a whole lot of, I don't want to say nothing, but it's been almost a letdown, I would say, for what his numbers were last year. Comparing it to this year, he has 59 receptions, 875 yards and 8 touchdowns this year. And then last year, you compare that to 100 catches, almost 1600 yards and 17 touchdowns. He basically cut all of his statistics. Oh, whoa, hard word. Cut all of his statistics in half from last year to this year.
Yeah, for sure. I think he might have been hurt a little bit this year, but even still, like, he was never kind of the big game breaker and like dominant force that a lot of us expected. And usually with the Lincoln Riley offense, you kind of had that. You had that with CeeDee Lamb and some other guys there. And it didn't really feel like it was really him. It felt like it was kind of more of like a wide receiver by committee type of performance by USC this year, which, I mean, isn't always a bad thing, but you also want that go-to guy that you need on third down or whatever. And like you said, I mean, he had some pretty good numbers, but based on what he did the year before, everybody was expecting him to be like Mr. Breakout Star and go and kill it. How much of that is him learning the offense? How much of that is the offense being more about spreading it around? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he definitely didn't have the star setup year that we all kind of thought. And because of that, a lot of people just kind of forgot about him.
Yeah, and I feel like it's kind of a really hard thing to become an afterthought in that offense, when especially when you have the skill that he does. Because like I said, coming out, he was probably the biggest star coming into the portal and transferring out last year. So it's just kind of been really surprising to see him kind of take that step back. And definitely wasn't expecting it in a Lincoln Riley offense. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely surprising for sure. And again, the big thing for USC is they, with being under a first-year coach, and we'll get to that whenever we get to talk about LSU-Georgia. I mean, you could tell at the end of the year, like, they had a good year. They had an easy schedule compared to the rest of the Pac-12 top teams like Washington, Utah, Oregon. They had kind of a light road. And whenever they got to lots of different competition, I mean, their defense just killed them. I mean, they were able to get away with it against UCLA. They weren't able to get away from it with Utah because Utah's just so tough. I mean, they basically force you 90% of the time to play their game, which is a bully ball. Like, hey, like, we're going to smash you in the face and try and stop us. And USC just had no interest in tackling. They couldn't do it. They don't have the players to do it. And it just shows that, you know, you can't just build your roster just on the transfer portal. So they got to build in recruiting, and they got to get better athletes on the defensive side of the ball. But I mean, that's not just a USC thing. I mean, that was a thing for Lincoln Riley over at Oklahoma too. So if he can ever get a defense, and I don't know if he needs to find a new defensive coordinator, because this is the Alex Grinch is the same guy he had at Oklahoma for a little bit. I don't know if he needs to find a new defensive coordinator or what, but he needs to figure something out, because, I mean, if his goal is to win a national championship, he's got to have better defenses. And that was the case over at Oklahoma, and it's going to be the case now at USC.
One of my favorite things about this is it always has felt like the Pac-12 has been like USC, Oregon, and Washington, like their conference that they kind of run. But sneakily, Utah just, it feels like they win the Pac-12 every year.
It's back-to-back for him, buddy. Back-to-back. Yeah.
It's so awesome to watch. Coming, like, it's Utah, so it's like,
and they're the newest team. Yeah, they're the newest team in the Pac-12 too. Them and Colorado, yeah, the two newest teams, and now they're like the class of the Pac-12. Yeah. Back to back years, man. Going to back to back Rose Bowls.
Look, if they put on another performance like they did last year in this year's Rose Bowl, that'd be great.
I'm for it. I love it. I'm for it.
Yeah. And I mean, look, this was our team that we picked out of the Pac-12 this year. So,
hey, we got one right. We got one right.
They didn't get our kiss of death.
They did not make the playoff, unfortunately, for us, but they at least won the conference. And you know what? If we were in a 12-team playoff, they'd be in the playoff. And we'll get to that. We'll talk about playoff a little bit, and then we'll talk about what it would look like if it was 12-team here. That's coming up in 2024, Mason. So next, let's go ahead, and I think what the best game of conference weekend was Kansas State TCU, and I think we both have a good bit of thoughts on this, especially the ending there. Kansas State pulls it off in overtime, winning 31-28. Dig into it, Mason.
Dude, what a game. That was so much fun to watch. I was expecting the USC-Utah game to be the best game of the weekend, but Kansas State TCU came out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere, but came out and they put on a performance, and it was a lot of fun. Obviously, like, Kansas State was putting it on TCU there for a little bit until they had the muffed punt, and it just felt like all of the energy was gone and went straight to TCU. And then freaking Max Duggan just took over from that point. The performance that he put on at the end of that game was awesome to watch. He was just playing on pure heart and soul at the end of that game. And he was able to bring him back, and it was pretty impressive.
And fell just short, man. Just short. Let's be honest here, man. How do we not review that third down run in overtime?
That was embarrassing. I don't know who should have called that in. I don't know if that's a official back in the booth, or is that just the TCU's coach should have had that challenge. But somewhere, somebody should have at least challenged it at just pure coincidence that maybe it would have gotten overturned. But it was very obvious that the ball had Kendre Miller had crossed the ball over the goal line. So I don't know what they were doing at that point.
Like, what are we doing here, man? That was an obvious touchdown. And on top of that, let's go back to Kansas State's first touchdown. They completely missed on fourth down, like an obvious false start. Completely missed that, man. And if they call that, And you know, I'm not the guy to, you know, blame officials for losses and everything, but this is a bad one. Okay. An obvious false start on 4th and 2. You back them up 5 yards. They kick a field goal instead of going for a touchdown. And that's 4 points, dude. They get 3 instead of 7. And we're sitting here. TCU doesn't go to overtime. They win the game in regulation, if they call that. So that's one. Yeah. And then not reviewing that third down play was another one. But, you know, even going to the fourth down, why aren't you sneaking the ball?
Yeah.
Why aren't you running quarterback sneak?
So my only thing with that is you saw how tired Duggan was at that point. Like, I still think they should have done it, but it's kind of understandable to assume that you probably have just as good of a chance handed it off to your running back than you do having a quarterback who's on probably 0% in the tank at that point. So I understood it, but I still probably would have gone with the quarterback.
You go quarterback sneak because you get to do the push
behind them.
You have your running back and your fullback. I don't care if Duggan is tired. Just stand up and let the guys behind you just push you in when all you need is like an inch. That's all you need, basically. And it was open. Like, go in, hike it real quick. Like, Drew Brees. Drew Brees was the master at this, of the quarterback sneak. He would literally quick snap and then just reach it over. That's all you have to do. Yeah, just reach it real
literally.
Quick. And, like, it's game, okay? Like, what are we doing here? Especially after you got stuffed the first time. Like, okay, like, I understand maybe doing it on third down, which he got in, by the way. But on fourth down, like, just be like, all right, well, you know, we're going to go behind and put the ball in the hands of our quarterback that has led us all the way here. And we're going to live and die by his heart, basically, and by the running backs pushing him in. Like, that's what you do in that situation.
I just, after watching that game and multiple games from TCU this year, I really do feel like they're going to get absolutely drummed by Michigan when they play them. And I just, watching them, they don't feel like a playoff team to me. I know their record, their strength of schedule, whatever it says.
They just find ways to win.
I know. It's hard to sit there and say that one of the 4 best teams in the nation has been down, what, eight different games that they had to come back from. I mean, it's hard to agree with that. With that being said, I still would have put them into the playoffs. They definitely have fought and put themselves in the position where they deserve it. It's just, I think Michigan is going to drum them when they play.
They could. And Michigan's a really good team. I think the more entertaining game, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about this a little bit, but I think the more entertaining game is obviously going to be Georgia, Ohio State. Have a hot take there. But we'll get to that. Before we get into the SEC championship, let's just go through real quickly on Clemson, North Carolina. Definitely thought this was going to be a close game. Dabo decided to actually be smart for once and play Cade Klubnik at quarterback instead of DJ after the first quarter or whatever it was. And they rolled and actually looked like Clemson winning 39-10 against North Carolina.
Yeah,
I didn't really watch much call.
Not really. I had to put in a call to my guy Dabo. I had to tell him, you know, DJ is just not your guy. And I need this win for our picks this week. So you got to put Klubnik in for
whatever.
Me. So I had to give him. He's my hometown guy. We went to high school. You know, I had to do it for it. I had to do it for myself.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And then the other one, Michigan pulling away towards the end, winning 43-22 against Purdue in the Big Ten championship game. Donovan Edwards, dude, he's a beast.
Yeah.
Take out Blake Gorham, put in Donovan Edwards. It's not like it matters.
All right, I need to eat some of my words from last week's episode real quick. So last week I said, if I remember correctly, Michigan had a letdown game in the championship after they beat Ohio State, which was very false.
Oh,
they won like 44-3 or something
like
that.
Listen, you were kind of maybe feeling good about yourself in the first half, and then the second half happened.
Yeah,
and then
I was feeling great, actually. I was like, yeah, the letdown game. I called it. And then second half, it was just bad. It was a head scratcher. Okay.
And how about my boy Charlie Jones, man? 13 receptions for 162 yards. I told you, beast.
Yeah. Good enough for you to lose.
Old Tom Brady wants him. Okay. He's the next Wes Welker or Kenny Amendola or Julian Edelman, man. That's what it is.
I don't know if he's quite short enough for that.
It doesn't matter. He's the right skin complexion, all right?
Skin color, yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Listen, okay. The one good thing for Michigan now having the time off is that maybe Donovan Edwards' thumb can actually heal. That way he can, you know, carry the ball in his right arm and be able to catch the ball. And then they might be a little bit more dangerous because that's just sketchy to me, dude. Just having a
cast.
Did
they say anything about Corum?
I think
he's going to be out.
He got knee
surgery. He had surgery.
So I think he's done.
I didn't see if they announced how long he would actually be out or not.
Yeah, I think he's just done.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
and I mean, that's fine. Edwards has been really good replacing him. So yep. I don't think they're really going to be losing much.
Yeah, for sure.
That feels really weird to say.
It is weird.
How good Corum's been, but it is what it is.
Donovan Edwards is that explosive, dude. All right, and then let's get to the SEC championship. We'll probably talk a little bit more about this one, obviously. 50-30, man. 50-30. Before I get started, give me your thoughts on the game.
Has LSU been playing the wrong quarterback the entire season? This is my TED Talk. This is what I'm here for. What the heck was that? You got this guy coming out throwing darts, just coming straight off the bench. Where did that come from? And why? Oh, why has he just been chilling on the bench the whole season?
Oh, boy, Mason. Yeah, yeah, old Garrett
Nussmeyer. I need some answers. I need some answers out of it.
Here's what I'll say to start. With how the offensive line was, especially the first half of the year, there's no way he would have had the time to be able to do what he did. Offensive line definitely got a lot better, and he had protection most of the game and was able to just let it fall out. Man, I'll say this about Garrett Nussmeyer. Love the kid. I hope that he stays. It's still up in the air. We don't know if Jaden is going to the draft or if he's coming back or what. Like, we don't know yet still. And so if Jaden comes back, it's probably a good chance that Nussmeyer will probably transfer, if I had to guess. The knock on Nussmeyer is that he's turnover prone and he's just immature. That's kind of the problem. I mean, he turned the ball over twice. Whenever he was in the second half, I mean, he did throw for almost 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, but he did turn the ball over twice. And that's kind of the problem with him. I mean, he played a little bit in the Southern game towards the beginning of the year and looked horrible, like played garbage. And so, I mean, he's a gunslinger, man. He's going to get back there and throw the ball. And as you saw, he has a cannon for an arm, can zip that thing like nobody's business. And honestly, like, his skill set really matches well with the wide receivers we have. The problem is that, one, he doesn't have the legs that Jaden has, and two, he doesn't take care of the ball as well as Jaden does. And so, with that being the case, with how the offensive line was and how this team needed to play the game, that's why Jaden got the nod, because of his feet. He was able to take care of the ball and was serviceable throwing the ball. And he pretty played well throwing the football in the first half, but obviously, like, he just doesn't have the arm strength and the passing game like Nussmeyer does. I'm in this kind of weird spot where I don't know if I want Jaden to come back or not.
I was just about to ask.
I'm really, like, in this spot where I'm like, you know, I am super appreciative of what you did and how you played in the Bama game and the Ole Miss game and basically carried us to a 9-4 season so far. Because, I mean, you were all offense for most of the year. But
yeah,
with the guys we have, with how solid the offensive line is going to be, I really kind of want a passing quarterback. And Garrett, if he can keep that up, I'm okay with it. Yeah. So that's kind of the weird situation we're in.
I think Jaden's a good quarterback. Obviously, he can do some impressive things. I just think he lacks a consistency in the passing game that you really kind of need if you want to take the next step.
Absolutely, he does. And that's the thing, though. Since that is the case, does that mean he goes to the draft still? Because here's the talk of Jaden Daniels from whenever he came out of high school, even to whenever he transferred over here, is that he wanted to be a 3-and-done player and go to the league. Well, he's been here. This was his fourth year. And a lot of people said that, you know, he's coming in to play in the SEC to get stats and then go to the league after just a terrible time over at Arizona State. He had decent numbers. He played well. I mean, he has the arm strength to be so you look at some of these backup quarterbacks in the NFL, he can't be much worse, just being honest. But,
yeah,
I mean, it would have benefit him to play another year at college ball, probably. But do I really want that to happen for us? I don't know. Here's the thing. Like, Joe Burrow wasn't, and I'm not comparing the guy to Joe Burrow.
Please
do not hear me say that he's going to be the next coming of Joe Burrow, because he's not.
But are you saying Jaden Daniels is better than Joe Burrow? Is that what I'm hearing out of you right now?
Absolutely not. Also, Joe Burrow is the actual owner of the Chiefs, just by the way, guys.
Patrick Mullins' daddy over here.
Yeah, man. But Joe Burrow, whenever his first season at LSU 2018, wasn't that good. He didn't throw a single touchdown in the month of October. And then he kind of climbed towards the end, had a pretty good game against A&M in the 7 overtime game, and then really balled out against UCF in the bowl game. And then he blew up his next year. So if you're Jaden Daniels, you think, okay, maybe, you know, I wasn't the greatest passing the ball year one. I need another offseason with these guys and in the system, and then I'll have my best year in year two. That's kind of, if he comes back, that's what's going to be the hope, is that he makes a leap kind of like Joe Burrow did. Obviously not to the extent that Burrow did, because nobody's going to be able to do that. Nobody can replicate that. He had an all-time season. But you want to see that type of improvement of, hey, there is a jump. I mean, it's not like he's absolutely horrible throwing the football. He just needs to be more – he doesn't need to be as gun-shy. He needs to be able to naturally throw it on time instead of just waiting for him to get open to anticipate that. I mean, the only throws that he anticipates are the comeback throws to Malik Nabers and then sometimes a slant or the flat route to Mason Taylor. Those are what he's most comfortable with. You're going to have to be more comfortable throwing the digs and the slants and the goes and the posts to these freak shows of athletes we have on the outside. And so, again, I'm still in this phase of, I don't know if I want him to come back, because I really like the future of our quarterback room, and I really like Garrett Nussmeier. I want him to succeed at LSU. I don't want him going elsewhere because of what he showed. I don't want to have to, because if he transfers, he's going to some school in the SEC. Like, we all know that.
Yeah, probably.
So, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting, because I don't think Jaden, if he goes to the draft, I don't think he'll be drafted very high. So, honestly, like, I could see him getting like a late round grade. And if you're him, why would you take that? Why would you risk that going in like the sixth round or something like that when you can try and come back? But also, if you're coming back, there's going to be a competition this summer for the quarterback position, honestly. And I mean, I still think he can and probably will win it, but it's not going to be easy for him. Like, you're not just going to be handed back the job this summer.
Yeah, so. I mean, it really just depends on if he really wants to be in college for a fifth year. I mean, would be his fifth year playing college ball, when his original plan is, I don't want to be here more than four. And sometimes, like, especially with the type of quarterback he is, like, he gets hit a lot. And so there's no guarantees, one, that your draft grade will increase significantly. And two, there's no guarantees that you'll be able to make it a full SEC schedule. He barely, like, he played in the last game in the conference championship, but he was beat up and couldn't finish the second half because of his ankle. And so there's no guarantees that he'd even be able to make it another one. So why get the beat up on you in college when you can just go and play pro ball, be a backup quarterback for the rest of your life, make a good pay, you know? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, obviously, he's not going to be a top 2 or 3 round pick probably, but for some guys, it's like, I don't want to be in college for another year. I'd just rather go and take my lumps and go to the NFL and get paid and just do that life, you know? So I don't know.
Do you think that with the NIL now, that gives guys a better opportunity to come back? Like, it makes them a little more willing to come back that extra year, because you're still technically going to be getting paid. Because, like, for a guy like Jaden, it almost makes a little bit more sense to come back and still be getting paid to potentially, like, raise your draft value a little bit. Like, I remember this is one of the things that Nick Saban was always critical about was draft grades, because there's a couple players a couple years ago who got a really high draft grade. It was like a late first, second round pick, but he ended up falling to like late third round, and he ended up losing a lot of money. Whereas if he would have just came back another year, he probably would have ended up playing his way into the first round and actually getting that paycheck that he wanted. But instead he left early, blah, 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 X, Y, Z. Now, like, I could see that being a thing that happens with Jaden, where if he leaves 1 year earlier than he necessarily should, it's going to cost him more money in the long run. So do you think that, like, with NIL now, it would make guys more willing to come back another year?
I think maybe in some circumstances it can. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're still having to deal with, you're at school. Like, you're still dealing with that, you know? Like, yeah,
well, he's a fifth year. He's only going to be taking, like, yoga class.
Sure. I mean, there is that. But at the same time, like, man, I don't know. Like, again, like, you're playing college ball. You're having to deal with all the college stuff. It's just a different experience. Like, obviously, you're going to get paid. But one, like, father time's undefeated. You only have so much of a window, right, to play pro ball. And so, again, like, NIL definitely helps, but I don't think it's going to be the end-all be-all for everybody. And also, like, you just got to look at the quarterback draft class. I mean, everybody thought JT Daniels was going to leave. He's staying. Everybody thought that maybe Michael Penix was going to leave and go to the draft. He's staying. Keaton Slovis is staying or transferring. He's not going to the draft. So, you know, the draft class maybe isn't as great for quarterbacks this year. And so for a guy like Jaden, that really kind of goes in your favor. I mean, obviously Bryce Young is probably going, CJ Stroud is probably going, but do you want to be in the same draft class as Caleb Williams? And, I don't know who all is going to be in the draft class next year. I haven't looked at it, but I mean, there's some pretty solid young quarterbacks. I mean, JJ McCarthy is going to be in it next year. So, I mean, it's not just, you know, You also just got to look at the draft class for your position too. And I think that'll be kind of a big deal, because outside of CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, I mean, what's another quarterback that's going to be in the draft this year? Stetson?
Will Levis?
Anthony
Richardson?
AR-15?
I'll say this. I feel like Jaden's very comparable to Malik Willis, who came out last year. Like, it's very similar. Like, they're both really fast. They run the ball. They have decent, not great arms. Like, I feel like they're very comparable.
And he's like Malik Cunningham at Louisville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. And, I mean, Malik Willis was drafted in the third round last year, and he's probably 2 years younger than Jaden is right now. So, like, I don't know. That'll be difficult.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm just kind of in this weird spot of, hey, I really like what you did. I'm really appreciative of you, but you also didn't do what I thought you would do. we saw what our offense could be passing attack wise, and that looked amazing against the number one defense in the country. We scored 30. We scored 30 points against the number one defense in the country. Now, if our defense wasn't run down tired and could actually stop somebody in the end of the year, then maybe we have a game. And also, if we don't have these fluke plays like an interception that bounces off of a helmet, and then if our special teams coordinator was worth a crap, we'd know that that was a live ball. And maybe it wouldn't be, you know, a 3-score game. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. But
to be fair, it didn't seem like
nobody, even the freaking coaches on Georgia didn't even know what to freaking do. You saw the shot of the clown of whatever, of Todd Monken, clown, by the way. He's a bigger clown than Stetson Bennett. That's saying something. But he was like, you saw it. Like, he's basically like, stay away from it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. And then after he touched it, he was running. He's like, oh, okay, go. Like,
started cheering for
it. Yeah, so freaking stupid, guy. Dude. So stupid. But yeah, when it comes to the game itself, so outside of obviously the quarterback somewhat controversy that is going on right now, again, our defense, like, it just looked like they ran out of gas at the end of the year, man. I mean, the issue that everybody thought that LSU would have finally reared its head at the end of the season against A&M and against Georgia, and that was depth. I mean, last year you ended the year at the bowl game with 39 scholarship players. And then in game one, your star defensive tackle tears his ACL. And then you basically don't have any rotation on the defensive line. You don't have any quality depth at linebacker. You're still working with tons of transfers at the defensive back positions. I mean, like, there just was no depth. And because of that, like, you couldn't stop anybody. Your legs were tired. You just couldn't do much against A&M. Couldn't tackle. And then against Georgia, I mean, you just got blown out. After it looked promising at first, got a 3-and-out to start, and then after that, they just rolled you. So, just ran out of gas, man. And that happens whenever you only have 39 scholarship players and have to do transfer portal and don't have tons of depth. But it was encouraging how they fought. It was encouraging how the offense played. And you know what? If we're going 9-4, going to the SEC championship in year one with all the crap that we dealt with in the offseason, I'm excited. So
I'm going to guess that 3 losses won't get you back to the SEC championship next year, but I could be wrong. Also would have said that about this year.
Yeah, you would have said that about this year. You also would have said that Bama makes it to the SEC championship game, and they were just sitting at home, so it's fine.
I did actually say
you did.
That.
I'll make sure I play that at some point whenever we do a full season recap. Hot takes here. yeah, man. Did you have any other thoughts on the game? People that I can't stand, Todd Monken and still Stetson Bennett. Clowns.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Stetson Bennett. We can get into Stetson right
Let's now. Do it. Let's talk about it, Mason. Okay. Freaking Heisman Trophy candidates, finalists here. Okay. They choose 4. Okay. You want to give us the 4, Mason?
No.
What we got? We got Caleb Williams. We got CJ Stroud. What was the third one?
Max Duggan
at TCU. And then the fourth one. Makes no sense whatsoever. Freaking Stetson Bennett is a Heisman Trophy finalist. What world are we in, Mason, where Stetson Bennett, a freaking game manager quarterback, this is like having AJ McCarron or Greg McElroy as a Heisman Trophy finalist.
Whoa. AJ McCarron was a Heisman finalist.
Trash.
Let's not forget that. He was a great quarterback. Don't compare Stetson Bennett to AJ McCarron. Get that out of here. All right, so I've got his numbers pulled up. 3,425 yards this year. Where do you think that ranks among quarterbacks?
40th?
11th.
Okay.
Good guess.
Okay.
All right, 20 touchdowns. That's 42nd among quarterbacks. 6 interceptions. 37th amongst quarterbacks, and with his QBR, it's 86, and that's 6 amongst quarterbacks. Those first 3 numbers are embarrassing for our Heisman finalists. That's so awful.
That is like
that they pass up Hendon Hooker for this.
I was about to say that it is absolutely disgraceful that you're not going to put Hendon Hooker with. I don't care if he tore his ACL in the second to last game of the season. Doesn't freaking matter, dude. He had an amazing year for a great team. And to not even have him as a finalist, if you're going to put freaking Stetson Bennett there, is absolutely disgraceful.
How about this? How do you punish Tennessee in the college football rankings for losing Hendon Hooker? And then say, oh, but he's not good enough to be a Heisman finalist.
It's absolutely.
Yeah, your whole season was on his back. So we're going to punish you in the rankings for it. We're going to drop you a couple notches. Oh, but he's not good enough to be a Heisman finalist. What are you doing right there? That is insane.
Not even Blake Corum.
Yeah, either one. Good Lord.
Like, what are we doing here, man? Like, what are we doing here?
But that should tell you what the state of the Heisman is this year.
Not even just this year, man. Like, most 99% of years, like, you have this kind of garbage every single year where there's always a player that somehow gets this hype, that has this feel-good story that it gets in. Like,
Aiden Hutchinson,
you know, Will Anderson.
Yeah, screw that guy.
You know, just pick your guy, okay? Ugh. Just pick your guy. Peyton Manning not winning the Heisman instead of Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's all this kind of bullcrap. Like, 99.
Deshaun not winning it. We'd already
probably
talked
95.
About that.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson not winning it is disgraceful as well. Like, There are so many instances that you can point to when it comes to the Heisman Trophy. Freaking Troy Smith winning it, or you know, Vince Young not winning it. I mean, Reggie Bush had an amazing year. And so I'm not as upset with that one. But when you take it away from him, that's bull crap. But also, yeah. You know, Troy Smith or Vince Young had an amazing year that year, too. So either one of those is good. I mean, like, you can point to so many examples, man. And the voters for this thing. And it's the same thing with the AP poll. I would probably venture to say 90% of the voters hardly watched college football. I would venture to say that, man. And you can see it based on their AP votes when it comes to the rankings, because you can look that stuff up on how they rank people. You can look at the Heisman Trophy finalists. It's absolutely disgraceful. And people are just like, oh, you know, quarterback for the best team in the country. All right, I'll vote for him. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Hey, look, anybody out there in the college football world want to hand us a Heisman vote, we will gladly vote on it.
I would love to actually have a vote for the Heisman.
We would accept. We accept your offer for our Heisman votes. We definitely will.
I'll give the Heisman votes and give me an AP vote too, man. Let's get after
it. Yeah, we'll take it. But yeah, I mean, it's just taken all the life out of the Heisman for me this year. I was kind of excited for it, but like the past 2 weeks have just really like, I don't know. I probably won't even watch it. It feels like Caleb Williams kind of has it wrapped up, and I honestly don't even feel like he necessarily deserves it. Yeah, his numbers are there, but I don't know. It's just like
we can't even put Michael Penix in the discussion.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it should this year, and it's hard to explain. But
it's just gross. It's just gross. Yeah. Listen, okay. Like, and again, it's definitely one of those years where you don't really have a clear cut favorite, you know, and that's weird to say. Like, nobody had that real magical year where like an RG3 in this kind of, you know.
Yeah, nobody came out and won it.
And, you know, some guys that are on the West Coast kind of get hurt, like a Michael Penix that kind of had a year like an RG3, but he doesn't have the viewership to be able to garner that kind of interest. So that kind of hurts him. You know, people were kind of talking about Drake May, and then their offense basically peed down their leg the last third of the season. You know, Bo Nix got hurt. CJ Stroud lost it in the Michigan game. Hendon Hooker, like, honestly, like, out of anybody, to me, the person that probably deserves it the most is Hendon Hooker. That would be my opinion. And the guy's not even going to New York.
That's insane.
Disgraceful.
It literally feels like they put Stetson in it just because Georgia's undefeated.
That's absolutely what it is. Because normally you only get three. You get three finalists. And so then they just, oh, okay, let's add a fourth. Let's put Stetson in because it's a feel-good story, even though nobody likes the guy. He's the biggest douchebag you ever see on TV. And I hate every single time that CBS cuts to him every single time after a touchdown. Nobody wants to see his stupid antics. I don't care. He's a clown.
I was really, really looking forward to not having to see him on my TV for a weekend. It was going to be nice. I was going to enjoy it, kick back, not have to worry about Stetson Bennett. But now I got to watch a whole
Heisman. I'm not even going to watch it. I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it.
I'm not gonna be able to resist. I'm addicted, man. Like, it's just I can't kick it.
I don't know if I've actually, like, I think the only, and I don't even know if I watched the full thing, but the only like Heisman like presentation show that I've watched obviously was the one that Joe Burrow won. But even then, I don't even think I watched the whole thing. Like, I just think I just kind of watched like the Joe Burrow like stories that they did, because everybody knew he was winning. He had the biggest landslide in Heisman history. But
it's only an hour, man. You can't lock in for an hour.
I just don't want to watch a show where they just jerk off the players the whole time. Like, I don't even watch it. Like the award shows. Like, I just don't really care.
I don't care that much.
I think I locked in more like a while ago, like maybe a couple, like 10 years ago, maybe I locked in a little bit more. But the older I get, just the more like I just kind of get mad at how they do the voting for the Heisman and how garbage it is. Like,
I guess I've been locked in lately because there's always an Alabama player.
Yeah, there's not one
this
year. Sorry about it.
That's probably it. Yeah. Oh,
well. Well, we did our rant on the Heisman, and that's stupid. Let's go ahead and let's talk college football playoff. The rankings came out, and it's what I think we kind of all expected it to happen, right? After everything that happened, Georgia, Michigan, TCU stays at three, and then Ohio State jumps in that four spot. Did they get it right, Mason?
100% they got it right. And anybody saying they got it wrong needs to take the dirt off their eyes, take the crimson sunglasses off.
Whoa. Who's saying this?
Yeah, get out of here. No, get out of here. Get out of here with that. This is, it's been ridiculous. That's one thing that I need to say, is that some of these Alabama fans need to get their crap together and realize that Alabama, A, was not getting in, and B, didn't deserve to get in. They haven't played well all year. If you want to say they should have gotten in over TCU, screw that. No, they shouldn't have. TCU had better wins than Alabama. They beat Texas better than Alabama did. If you want to say, the only argument is maybe Ohio State. And even that, it's not an argument. I mean, right now there's this class of Alabama fans. You have the Gene Stallings era of Alabama fans, the old curmudgeons who just want you to run the ball 50 times a game. They're mad about it. You have the Saban bots. They're the fake fans who just came in when Saban came along, and they're mad about it. And then you have my era right here. We're the Mike Shula era. We were built on Mike Shula. We know the hurt. We know the six straight losses to Auburn. We know the pain. And we realized that this Alabama team was not ready, and they were not good enough to get in the playoffs. And so that's where we are right now. But to everybody thinking that Alabama should get in, that was just embarrassing. And get that out of here. If you're trying to tell me that TCU should have dropped after one loss, who are they going to drop behind? They're not dropping behind Ohio State, who just got murdered by Michigan. That's not happening. They 100% got this right, and it's not even a question.
But Mason, they only lost by like three combined points.
Who? TCU?
No, I'm talking about
exactly in overtime.
Their two losses is only like by like 3 points or whatever it is, Mason.
If you want to get in the playoffs, don't lose two games. I don't care. If you want to get in, just win. That's it. Simple.
Wow. I'm really impressed by you, Mason.
That's had me hot and bothered for the past couple of weeks, because that's all I've seen for a week now is how everybody thinks Alabama should have gotten in, and it's just not true.
But Mason, you didn't watch they the would be favored over any of these teams.
Oh, well, I'm not going to disagree with that.
It doesn't matter. It's you know, a good thing we don't rank them based on power ratings in Vegas, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Clowns. Look, Nick Saban, clown, going on Fox and all these shows to make his case. Clown, okay?
Here's the thing. He has to do that, and I'm glad he did it. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't be doing his job as a head coach, putting up and trying to put up for his players. So I respect him for doing it. The argument was a little shaky.
Because there is no argument, dude. There was no argument.
I know that. I just told you that. I just went a whole rant on how there's no argument. But I do still think that Saban had to do that. Because it's a bad look if you're not putting up for your players.
It's just laughable, man. Like, I'm right there with you, dude. Like, it's just honestly laughable seeing Bama fans, some texting me saying, like, giving me, like, the little eye emojis whenever, like, USC lose and then TCU losing. It's like, no. Yeah, there's no discussion. You don't get in, and if you get in, I riot, okay? Because that would be the most bullcrap thing to happen in this playoff era. And then, listen, and then this is what people say. Oh, well, you want Alabama out of the playoffs so bad, they're out, and now you're wanting to do a 12-team where they're in all the time. Like, no, like, the whole conversation we're having is the current playoff model. That's what it's about, okay? When we get to the next playoff model, then the arguments change, the discussion changes, and that's fine. Like, it's okay. No one cares. I'm not going to be mad when we get to that point. It's not about just keeping Alabama out. That's about, hey, we're letting it actually be decided on the field.
Yep, exactly.
But, yeah, man, they definitely got it right. The only thing that I was kind of worried about with the rankings, and I'm glad that they are what they are, I'm glad it's Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU, and then Ohio State. The only worry I had was that they might have dropped TCU below Ohio State, and then we would have had Michigan-Ohio State rematch and then Georgia-TCU, which I really don't want.
I'm really glad.
So I'm glad they did it that way. Yeah. And honestly, man, Georgia got the worst deal out of this. They get to play Ohio State.
I was just thinking
that.
And
the team, the way this Georgia team is going to get beat, it's by a team like Ohio State that has star wide receivers and can pass the ball all over the yard. LSU just had the blueprint of how to score on this defense, and Ohio State has the players to do it.
Yeah. So here's my thing with that. I'm actually in complete agreeance with you that they kind of got the short end of the stick no matter what. Even if it was Alabama squeaking in, like, that's still a bad matchup for Georgia. I think they still beat Ohio State, and they would have beaten Alabama, and they would have murdered TCU also. But you know they had to be sitting there really hoping that TCU fell to four. The thing I'll say about that is the four probably best quarterbacks that Georgia has faced this year has been Hendon Hooker, Will Rogers, Bo Nix, and Spencer Rattler. And the only one in that group of four that was over 200 passing yards was Will Rogers.
You're going to put Spencer Rattler over the combination of Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier?
Yes.
When Garrett Nussmeier almost passed for 300 yards on him in the championship game? Okay.
Yes, I am actually going to do that. But, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, even like that is definitely the weak point of Georgia's defense, but still, like, you're holding Hendon Hooker to 195 yards.
Listen, man.
With all the firepower that they had.
If I'm a Georgia fan, I don't feel good about this matchup at all.
I agree. Like, I don't think they need to feel good about it, but I still think that Georgia's probably going to do their thing.
I really, really like Ohio State in this matchup. I really, really like them here.
Here's my new question. Has Georgia become the villains of college football?
I don't know. I don't know if they have or not. I think the only reason why you would say yes is because of Stetson.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think people really hate Kirby. You know, like, here's the thing with Alabama. People just don't like Nick. And that's why, like, he, like, comes across as, like, the evil empire, the evil emperor from, like, Star Wars and stuff, like Palpatine. Like, he comes across as that to a lot of college football. I don't think Kirby is really there yet, but I think the reason why at least this Georgia team is so unlikable is because of Stetson. Like, I just think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, he's just the annoying, annoying, like, cocky guy that actually isn't that great. He's just surrounded by great players and amazing offensive line. That's why he's good, not because of himself.
Yeah, Georgia's just in this weird phase right now where if they know that they're better than everybody, and they let them know that they're better than everybody, which is a little unfortunate, and I don't like watching it, but it is what it is. I feel like they're the villains at this point.
I don't know, man. I like I said, I really, really, really like Ohio State a lot.
I do think was probably their worst case scenario for matchups.
If I had to pick, if you told me I had to pick a game right now, I would pick Ohio State over Georgia.
Yeah. It's just so hard because the last time we watched Ohio State was them getting
murdered. And I think that actually helps, though. Like, I think that'll be a big benefit to them because, like, I think they just kind of, and along with everybody else in the nation, I think they just expected to beat Michigan. And then when it didn't happen, obviously, like, it was a big deal. And I think that's really going to fuel them. And I think they will have their best performance because, like, they obviously didn't have their best performance. I think they're going to have their best performance because of how they snuck in. And I think Ryan Day, again, this is his opportunity to not be the biggest failure right now in the country. He gets his chance. They get to play. Them and Georgia were ranked 1 and 2 throughout the season. They get their chance. And I think I love their matchup. I love the wide receivers. CJ Stroud will have his opportunity to redeem himself. I think Travion Henderson should be back for the game as well. So that's your star running back that'll be back. Their defense has improved. And Georgia plays a different style than Michigan. So I think the matchup may work a little bit better. But, man, this is super early. We'll give it some time for me to rest on it and think about it. But if I had to pick right now, either against the spread or straight up, I'm going Ohio State.
But my thing is that, you know, they had an entire year to prepare for the Michigan game. And you know they did because Ryan Day's out here saying they're going to put up 100 on Michigan. And for them to come out and look as flat and unprepared as they did, it's just hard for me to sit here and say that they're going to come out and look like world beaters against Georgia. But I do agree with you, like, this is probably the worst case scenario for Georgia. So it is going to be very interesting. But I don't I just have a bad taste in my mouth right now with
you,
Ohio State.
You feel
State,
burned. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand that. That's just my thoughts early. Obviously, I might change my mind in a couple weeks when we get to that point. But again, if I had to pick now, I like Ohio State in the matchup. TCU, Michigan. We haven't talked a lot about it. I think everybody's just like, oh, Michigan's going to blow them out. I think Michigan will probably win, but like, there's just something about this TCU team, man, that I think is going to be close. Like, they just find ways.
You're going to have to
convince
me. They
just find ways to make it work, okay? They just find ways. Okay, you know, one of the things that people have been talking about was, you know, their defense, right? Their defense wasn't that good. They played pretty well against a pretty good Kansas State offense. I mean, he had a really good running back in Deuce, and then, you know, a quarterback that had been kind of on fire recently in Will Howard. Let me actually look at Kansas State's offense, total offense real quick.
Yeah, you're going to have to convince me on this because I'm definitely in the crowd that thinks that Michigan's
so Kansas State is in the
TCU.
Top 50 in total offense right now for the year. And scoring offense, let me pull that up. And then they're in the top 40 in scoring offense, scoring 33 a game. So, I mean, you hold them in regulation below their season average. I mean, like, it's not a great defense, obviously. But, yeah. Like, and they also play a really weird defense, the 3-3-5, which is a nightmare to play against because of run fits and everything like that. I think Michigan will eventually pull away, just kind of like what they do. But I think TCU, with the big play potential, will be able to at least. I mean, Purdue is able to move the yard. Again, the thing about Michigan is you have to score in the red zone. That's the main thing. They keep people out of the red zone. And so if you can score in the red zone, then it'll be close. That's what's going to be the key of the game, because that was the key against Ohio State. That was the key against Purdue. Is that they drove the ball up and down the field between the 20s, but once they got inside the 20, they couldn't do anything and had to kick field goals. And so with that style of play, man, like, it just takes one game. Again, this is a one-game season for both teams. TCU's going to have time to prepare. They have really good wide receivers. Kendre Miller is a beast. And, I mean, we just saw the heart of Max Duggan. I think they'll at least be able to keep it close for most of the game, and then maybe late Michigan kind of pulls away, but I don't think it's just a super layup.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, it feels like every year we have one of those just gross games that end up being a blowout, and I just think it's going to be this one this year.
We'll see. But we'll talk more about it later. But I'm glad we both agree that they got it right and that we don't have to have a come to this moment with you about Alabama. Okay.
No, look, I'm not always sipping the tea with Alabama. Just most of the time.
You don't always have the glasses on, but most of the time you do.
I just have the proper amount of homework.
Proper amount. Okay. All right. Well, you know what, Mason? I think we're kind of done this week. Is there anything else that you want to kind of talk about before we head out and take a little break?
I said it at the end of last week. Bama Hoops is still riding number 8 in the AP. We are playing Houston this weekend, though. Number 1 team in the nation. So that would be fun to watch. I don't know how it's going to go, but it'll be interesting. I like what the team's doing. Nate Oates is rocking. It's been fun. We got two freshmen balling out too, so they'll probably be one and dones. But you know,
that's college basketball. It's freaking ruined.
Gotta eat it.
One and dones have ruined college basketball. Hot take.
Look, the one and dones are killing us right now in college basketball, but the mid major white boys are saving us in the tournament. That's it. Giving us all the upsets.
Love it. Love it. Listen, I know. I just know, Mason, that you're loving and tuning in to the Will Wade podcast that started on Monday. I know
absolutely
you are loving it, and you listen to it, and you're just listening to it on repeat because you just love it.
I can't even put a list together of things that I would rather be doing than that. That sounds like amazing. Torture. If I was holding the nuclear codes right now, that's all you would have to do is play that podcast, and I'd give it up immediately.
Oh, what a hater, bro. What a hater.
Very big time. Big time.
Well,
hater.
I think that's going to be it for us. Appreciate you guys listening, and we'll catch y'all in a few weeks with our bowl previews and picks and fantasy, and we'll get into it a little further in the weeds on previews And by that time, we'll talk about who won the Heisman. Maybe it's probably obvious. Caleb probably wins. Oh, you know what? Before you leave, Mason, who wins? Army, Navy?
Navy. Navy.
All right, I'll go Army. Let's go. See you guys next time. Bye.